There was a lovely card from Claudia. She thanked Ray for talking to her and expressing his forgiveness. She had loved his father for years and would carry her grief to her grave. "Please call me," she begged, then signed off with hugs and kisses. And she's got her current boyfriend on Viagra, according to Harry Rex. The nostalgic journey home came to an abrupt halt with a simple anonymous card that froze his pulse and sent goosebumps down the backs of both legs. The only pink envelope in the pile contained a card with the words, "With sympathy," on the outside. Taped to the inside was a small square piece of paper with a typed message that read, "It would be a mistake to spend the money. The IRS is a phone call away." The envelope had been postmarked in Clanton on Wednesday, the day after the funeral, and was addressed to the family of Judge Attlee at Maple Run. Ray placed it aside while he scanned the other cards and letters. They were all the same at this point, and he'd read enough. The pink one sat there like a loaded gun, waiting for him to return to it. He repeated the threat on the balcony as he grasped the railing and tried to analyze things. He mumbled the words in the kitchen as he fixed more coffee. He'd left the note on the table, so he could see it from any part of his rambling den. Back on the balcony, he watched the foot traffic pick up as noon approached, and anyone who glanced up was a person who might know about the money. Bury a fortune, then realize you're hiding it from someone, and your imagination can get crazy. The money didn't belong to him, and it was certainly enough to get him stalked, followed, watched, reported, even hurt. Then he laughed at his own paranoia. "I will not live like this," he said, and went to take a shower. Whoever it was knew exactly where the judge had hidden the money. "Make a list," Ray told himself, as he sat on the edge of his bed naked with water dripping onto the floor. The felon who cut the lawn once a week. Perhaps he was a smooth talker who'd befriended the judge and spent time in the house. Entry was easy. When the judge sneaked off to the casinos, maybe the grass cutter slinked through the house pilfering. Claudia would be at the top of the list. Ray could easily see her easing over to Maple Run whenever the judge beckoned. You don't sleep with a woman for years, then cut her off without a replacement. Their lives had been so connected it was easy to imagine their romance continuing. No one had been closer to Reuben Attlee than Claudia. If anyone knew where the money came from, it was her. If she wanted a key to the house, she could have had one, though a key was not necessary. Her visit on the morning of the funeral could have been for surveillance and not sympathy, though she'd played it well. Tough, smart, savvy, calloused, and old, but not too old. For 15 minutes he dwelt on Claudia and convinced himself that she was the one tracking the money. Two other names came to mind, but Ray could not add them to the list. The first was Harry Rex, and as soon as he mumbled the name, he felt ashamed. The other was Forrest, and it too was a ridiculous idea. Forrest had not been inside the house for 9 years. Assuming, just for the sake of argument, that he somehow had known about the money, he would never have left it. Give Forrest $3 million in cash, and he would have done serious damage to himself and those around him. The list took great effort, but there was little to show for it. He wanted to go for a quick run, but instead stuffed some old clothes into 2 pillowcases, then drove to Cheney's, where he unloaded them into 14B. Nothing had been touched. The boxes were just as he had left them the day before. The money was still well hidden. As he loitered there, not wanting to leave until the last second, he was hit with a thought that perhaps he was creating a trail. Obviously, someone knew he had taken it from the judge's study. For that kind of money, private investigators could be hired to follow Ray. They could follow him from Clanton to Charlottesville, from his apartment to Cheney's self-storage. He cursed himself for being so negligent. Think, man. The money doesn't belong to you. He locked up 14B as tightly as possible. Driving across town to meet Carl for lunch, he glanced at his mirrors and watched other drivers, and after 5 minutes of this, he laughed at himself and vowed that he would not live like wounded prey. Let them have the damned money. One less thing to worry about. Break into 14B and haul it away. Wouldn't affect his life in the least. No, sir.